Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. It's common knowledge that North Carolina is home to a large and top-flight community college system, but when it comes to the day-to-day details of what's actually taking place on community college campuses, most North Carolinians would probably be surprised to learn the size and diversity of the academic offerings, faculties, student bodies, and other community supports the schools provide. One great example of this phenomenon is Durham Tech, a large school that's one of the most important public institutions in the Durham community. Recently, I got a chance to learn about some exciting and hopeful examples of the difference the school is making in a conversation I had with the president of Durham Tech, veteran North Carolina education advocate and administrator, J.B. Buxton. Well, President J.B. Buxton, welcome to News and Views. Thanks so much for being with us.
Rob, thank you. Appreciate the invitation.
So you've served in so many roles in the field of education in our state over the past few decades, maybe more than anybody else, I'd say, or at least right up there with anybody else. I wonder if you could share with our listeners, though, your thoughts about this job that you've devoted, I guess, close to 2 years now, leading this really important community college.
This is a job I feel very privileged to be in, and an institution I feel very lucky to be associated with, Durham Technical Community College, or Durham Tech, as we're known in the region. It is an outstanding institution, outstanding faculty and staff. Students, as you know, that start with us in high school and might come back in their 60s to skilling and upskilling and everywhere in between. So it's community colleges in general are so tied into the fabric of their communities, and whether that's economic development or educational aspirations or, frankly, food and housing, the privilege is really being part of increasing quality of life in a community and the role that a community college plays to do that.
I was going to ask you, what's the most rewarding and encouraging things? I think you've kind of listed some of those already. I wonder, there must have been some challenges taking on this. Obviously, you hit it right when the pandemic was really hitting full song. I wonder if that's the biggest challenge, or maybe there have been some other things that you've had to grapple with in leading Durham Tech.
I like to say I'm a pandemic president. I mean, I July of 2020, and we were probably 85% online. You know, everything with the exception of things like HVAC or nursing, where you just have to be in person and have to be working hands-on, was online. And we are now about 50-50 in terms of in-person or online. And we think we're getting closer to that sweet spot where we're meeting the needs of students who really need to be in classrooms with instructors, with peers, a social part of the educational journey, but also meeting the needs of students who need to go part-time because they're working or who have families or maybe parents at home they're hoping taken care of, where the online opportunity is a really important part of making it accessible for them. So I would say in a lot of ways, that's been the most challenging, because if I took you into a classroom, you might talk to one student who says, if I never came to campus, I'd be fine because flexibility with family or work. And the student next to that might say, I really need to be here and know my instructor and my fellow students. So trying to balance and find those different modalities for different students has been one of the challenges amidst all the personal challenges that our students and staff have faced.
Is it going to ever be back like it was before?
Well, I think, you know, we were 30% online before the pandemic. So at about 50, I think that reflects in some ways what we've learned works about online and what we've learned doesn't. And so I think, yes, there's a permanent upward shift, but I'd say the winner is going to be hybrid. We have classes where we need people in person for some of that time, but in other times, what we're trying to deliver doesn't require people to be sitting in a classroom. And so we can create the hybrid versions of classes, which I think meet a variety of needs pretty well.
You refer to the fact that community colleges interact with the community and with the inhabitants thereof in so many different ways and so many different levels and places. And one area that I want to ask you about is this new initiative you recently announced to tackle housing insecurity in your community. Obviously, we know across the country right now with the soaring prices of housing, we have a lot of homeless people. I know my own church has launched an initiative to work with homeless college students in our community here in Raleigh, because it's a huge problem. Maybe you can talk to us about what's going on in Durham with respect to that and the new initiative y'all have announced.
Well, I appreciate you asking about this. This has been a major priority for Durham, both the county and the city, and real deep commitment and fiscal commitment to affordable housing in the community. And as that was getting started, we were part of a national survey. We had a number of our students involved to kind of give us a good representative sample. And we learned that we had 50% of our students who reflected experiencing some level of housing insecurity, 20% of our students who said they experienced some homelessness, sometimes off and on, sometimes chronic. We knew it was a big need. We had clear numbers at that point. And so both in response to the need of our students and in response to this larger need in Durham to create affordable housing, we started to look for what our piece of the puzzle, what our solution could be on this. And we have a piece of land not particularly well suited for instructional purposes that we've held since the 70s when it was given to us, and realized this was a place where we could work with some partners and do an affordable housing community, about 124 units. And now we're competing for some city funding through their RFP process and low-income housing tax credits. We feel very good about the prospects. And if all goes right, in fall of 2024, we'll open that community up to both our students and to residents of our broader community.
That's terrific. We wish you the best of that. I know it's not going to solve the problem, but that's the kind of creative stuff that needs to happen. We're delighted to be talking with the president of one of North Carolina's leading community colleges, Durham Tech. That's J.B. Buxton. President Buxton, I want to ask you about the goal of moving us to having more people have post-secondary degrees and high-quality credentials. I know that's something that's been a target in the state, to get something like 2 million adults by the end of the decade. Obviously, the pandemic has put a crimp in perhaps in some of those plans. Is that still something that's realistic? Is that something worth working toward? And what are the major roadblocks to getting us to a point where we can have that many people with post-secondary credentials?
Well, the short answer is yes and yes, it's needed. And as you look at the way the economy is shifting, and frankly, the pandemic, I think, has really amplified and made clear some of these messages, what it's going to take, not just for someone to get a credential, and which might be required in the workforce, but what does it mean to get a credential that provides you access to economic and social mobility? We're trying to be really tough on ourselves about the kinds of credentials, degrees, diplomas, certifications that actually lead to competitive wages, wages that sustain families, and jobs that are ladders to economic mobility. We don't want to be offering things that take you into a dead end from a social mobility standpoint. So I think as the state talks about increased credentials and degrees and the importance of that, my future NC goal, it's both the degrees, but degrees in the right areas that create access to real social mobility. I think the one thing we're fortunate in North Carolina is that we've got a strong system of community colleges, a strong system of universities, a K-12 system that works together pretty well. And so the opportunity for folks to build on those experiences, because, you know, we get folks from Duke who come back to get a life sciences credential or to get some clinical trials experience in pharmacology. That's like our graduate school. As you know, we'll take the UNC, the state, the Duke, the Central grads who need to come back and get something for IT, as well as the high school graduate that went off to work and all of a sudden realizes he or she really needs more to have a real purchase economically. And then they come back to us for a credential of some kind to move forward.
I have a brother who graduated from Stanford University and then later went to community college to learn how to become the computer technology expert that he later became in life.
There you go.
One issue that's obviously a huge challenge right now in K through 12 education, you may even have thoughts on this, is teacher retention with the pandemic, pay challenges. Has that been a problem, recruitment and retention of faculty for y'all, or have you been able to insulate yourselves from that?
No, we've not insulated ourselves. You know, one thing I think that a lot of people don't think about with community college faculty, I mean, one is these are individuals who could go teach at universities, go teach in the K-12 system, teach in our system. A lot of times they've got pretty deep industry experience. They've got options and choices between industry in the community colleges. And so the competitiveness of our labor market is strong. I mean, it's very robust. And being 40th in the country in salaries, being 10th out of 16 in the Southeast is a challenge for us. Legislature with a 5% over 2-year pay increase, I think, put a down payment on that effort. But we've got a goal as community colleges across the state to get to the average of our surrounding states moving forward, because we think that's a good proxy for our competitiveness within our regions. But yeah, faculty and staff pay is a major issue for us.
We're coming to the end of our time with the president of Durham Technical Community College, J.B. Buxton. As we've alluded to the fact, you've spent a lot of time in the K through 12 world as well. You've been on the State Board of Education, advisor to governors. obviously one of the big debates that's going on right now in K through 12 is the Leandro plan, this notion that we've actually got a blueprint for fully funding our public schools. There's a lot of pushback coming from the General Assembly on that, maybe partial compliance to a certain degree. Do you have hope there? Do you have any optimism? Is this going to be an area we're going to continue to be fussing at each other over? Or is maybe there some prospect for really lifting up our K through 12 schools, which I take it would probably inevitably benefit our community colleges and universities as well?
Yeah, there's no question that it benefits, I think, all North Carolinians when our K-12 schools are strong. You know, what gives me hope is that the Leandro standard, if you will, what Burley Mitchell wrote, Chief Justice Mitchell wrote back in 97, is as germane today as it was in 97 about what students upon graduating from high school, the knowledge, skills, experiences they need to have options and to be strong participants in our communities and democracy. And so I think it's pretty clear the standard we're trying to get to. I think from all objective data, it's pretty clear we're not there. And not to make it too simplistic, but essentially in public education, you're spending money on your people, making sure you've got strong talent in the classroom or running schools or teacher assistants. You're spending money on the learning experience, and you're spending money on some kind of technologies, whether that's computer or the materials that you use in a classroom. You've got facilities that are part of that learning experience. So in those three areas, I think you've got good, robust debates you can have about where those investments need to be made. Whether they need to be made is not, to me, a question, because we haven't met the standard. And we're, you know, that's the express will of the people through our Constitution. So I feel optimistic that there is room for constructive debate about how we get there. I think the key is that we should all agree a constitutional standard should mean something. We should all aspire to meeting that. And frankly, it's critical to families, individuals living out meaningful, productive lives, whether that's K-12 or right on up through. So, yeah, I'm a glass half full kind of guy, but we don't have much time to waste here.
Amen to both of those. We appreciate the glass half full people these days. J.B. Buxton is the president of Durham Tech, one of the most important education leaders in our state for many decades. We're honored you took the time to be with us today. Thank you so much. We'll maybe catch up and do this again sometime later in 2022.
Absolutely, Rob. And I appreciate your long coverage of important issues to our state.
Thank you.
Coming up next, a Durham Public Elementary school teacher tells us how her work to help a single struggling family has turned into something much bigger. Stay with us.